whiskey.
Welcome to the Whiskey Underground.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the BSEA Whiskey Underground. We're here tonight in our secret speakeasy to relax and enjoy one of the finest man-made creations on Earth, whiskey. So tonight, Brant, welcome to the BSEA Whiskey Underground.
I am so happy to be here. This is my favorite little hiding spot, for sure. So when I get to like duck away in here for a night during the week, away from the world, it's the best place on earth. This is the speakeasy of speakeasies.
It is the best place to be. You know, we've had a fair number of friends in here. They've all enjoyed it. They have nothing bad to say about Jeeves. They have nothing bad to say about the bar. It's a great place. So tonight, fair warning, Brant and I are on the eve of heading out to Disney. We're going to be down there in Disney World. We're going to be checking out some bourbon down there, I'm sure. Right, Brant?
Absolutely. I've got my eyes set on a few cocktails for sure, but bourbon's always in the mix. And the biggest thing, Scott, is you've got a child. I don't, but we're actually on the night of Halloween right now. It's October 31st as we record this. Did you get to trick or treat tonight?
Oh, we did. We certainly did.
How's your neighborhood for?
It's good. You know, it's honestly their parents walking around with cocktails, with beers. I mean, they grab a walking beer and walk around with their kids. And we have yet to do that. But I promise you next year we're not missing out.
Yeah. So on one of the last podcasts you did, a Three Sheets podcast, you talked about people you'd want to like have a drink with. And y'all talked about having a walking beer with Walt.
I was
just like, man, a walking cocktail with Walt Disney through Magic Kingdom would probably blow my mind.
Oh, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, because you know he's up. I mean, you know he's up for it, right? You know,
he's always up for a Scotch.
Yeah, you kick everybody out. You pour a Scotch mitt. Honestly, I feel like Walt would be a person. He could probably walk through the crowd and fend off the people that knew who he was. Because, you know, there's probably 60% of people in Disney World that wouldn't know who he was. If he walked down Main Street, people wouldn't know who he was.
There'd be a fair... I think once one or two people recognized him, then there would be a crowd. But he was always really good with that. Back in the 50s and early 60s, he would have pre-made or pre-signed almost like business cards where he would pass them out to people who met him at the park when he was in the parks. So he was pretty good about that. And, you know, again, it's almost 50 years ago, but that was a time when people respected other people's personal space.
Right.
And so very few people would bum rush him.
You still kind of hear about that legacy in Disneyland, right? Where you have face characters that walk around the park and they don't get bum rushed. Whereas if Mary Poppins walked down Main Street or in Fantasyland or in England, she was just walking in the street, you'd have a horde of people around her. It happens in Disneyland. And people are like, don't bother Mary Poppins. Like Mary Poppins is doing something. Don't bother Mary Poppins.
And again, it's because if you go to Disneyland, if you're a pass holder at Disneyland, or if you live in California, and I've been fortunate enough to live there and to be a pass holder there for a brief period of time, you're going there every day. You're not, I have to cram everything into this small little vacation. So it's a much, much different it's a much different atmosphere being there. You're there for the day. You're hanging out. It's almost like you go into the bar. You're not gonna, you know, if a celebrity walks into a bar, You'd be like, oh yeah, he's probably here for just hanging out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not gonna like bum rush them.
At least I would.
So tonight, look, Brant, we've talked enough. Let's go over to the bar. Let's grab something from Jeeves' stock, and let's have some whiskey together while I talk you through a dilemma that I'm having right now.
I'm ready to belly up to the bar and have some one-on-one man time.
Let's do it. Jeeves, I'm going to have the Johnny Walker Green Label.
Green Label. That's not a call. That's not a call you hear very, very often from Johnny Walker, right? I hear black, I hear red, I hear blue, but Green Label,
you
Johnny
know what?
Walker.
It's a thanks, Jeeves. It's a whiskey that's not commonly called out because people don't really think about it. Same with Gold and Platinum. They kind of get lost in the black is very common. Everybody drinks black. Everybody loves black. Blue is, forgive me for saying this because I'm going to offend some people,
terribly overpriced.
Blue is what a used car salesman would drink.
Yeah. I see.
It is good. It is good. It is not good for the price they call for it. So what are you going to have? Well, G sits there and waits on you.
Well, I mean, I don't have as big a dilemma, but because I'm calling from the heart tonight. And if I'm drinking whatever's on the menu, I like wine finished bourbon, right? So Jeeves just happens to have one of the last remaining Groth Reserve cast finished bourbons from Jefferson. So it's a Jefferson's Reserve Groth cask. This is matured in French oak cask that previously held Groth Cabernet Sauvignon. And Jeeves knows me as a regular and knows that I like that wine finish. So he's heavy-handed on the pour tonight.
Look, and it's a fine whiskey. Fine whiskey, because Groth Vineyards in Napa Valley are they're wonderful. They make amazing wines. So to pair a very good bourbon. I mean, look, Jefferson's is not the greatest bourbon ever, but I like that they do fun things with it after they get the bourbon made. So you have, I mean, we'll talk about many, many more Jeffersons later on some other quick pours, but Jefferson's does some really fun things with it, and it's not to be missed. If you see a bottle of Jefferson's in one of their finished things, whether it's port or wine or Madeira,
they have a
rum
cask. They have
rum cask
and the oceans. I mean, there's tons of things that they do. You're right. It's seemingly like they take an ordinary bourbon and do extraordinary things at the finish.
Yes.
Right? They're the masters of finishing bourbon.
They really are, because their thing is finishing. Yes, they're small batch. Their reserve are good, but they're not outstanding. They're not write home bourbon.
I agree. Straight out the bottle, nothing that you're gonna write home about. But when you get that finished product, they're always on that list. They always make a splash. They're always in the headlines of bourbon game. So and Jeeves knows. I mean, Jeeves knows I like those finished bourbons. So I mean, hey, he's pulling out the stops. I mean, and I'm gonna tell you too. We go through whiskeys. I know we don't really have a ton of notes on this because we're kind of doing a short pour, but we talk about bottling. Dude, this thing has like a real cork with a wooden top stopper in a very sleek, slender bottle, nice script. It's a beautiful package. The bottle sells itself. If I saw this on a back bar, I'm going to inquire about what the fuck is that? It's not the normal Jefferson's bottle I'm used to seeing.
No, and that's the thing is it's got a nice character to the bottle. Johnny Walker Green is not anything that you would pick out of.
But I would say if I saw a Green Label, if you had a lineup of Johnny Walker bottles and there was a Green Label, I mean 9 out of 10 bars, I'm not seeing that. So if I see a Green Label, I'm going, hey, tell me what's up with Green Label.
So. Look, everyone thinks that Scotch is smoky, and Johnny Walker Black tends to get that, oh my god, it's so smoky, I can't drink it. Well, Johnny Walker Black is a blend of 41 whiskeys, 41 different distillers. Yes, it's a lot,
right?
It's
a whole lot of whiskey.
Now, Green Label, and people think, oh, green, it's friendly. Green Label's got a little smoke to it. Green Label basically takes you on a tour of Scotland with a representative of four separate different areas. So four whiskeys go into this one. Highland, Lowland, Islet, and Isla. So it's a little, it's kind of that cross between the Speyside, Highland, and Isla. So it's a little bit of smoke. Now, the Craganmore and Linkwood of Speyside are in this. Isla's Calilla and Talisker from the Island of Skye are the chief components of this. So it's got a nice, salty, smoky, briny flavor to it that I love. Being an Isla guy, I love it. And they blend it all together. It's got a 15-year age statement, so it's the minimum age that anything in here is 15 years old. It's $53 on a normal basis here. And that is damn good for a 15-year-old whiskey.
That is super damn good.
And it is absolutely delicious. It's honey-flavored. It's got vanilla ice cream, banana, allspice, shortbread, everything that you love about whiskey. And then there's a little bit of lift off of the smoke from the Calilla. So, I like it. But Brent, my dilemma is... now, what I do whenever I go to Disney, I always bring two bottles of something. One is a bottle of tequila, because I mix that with pineapple juice to make my Boom Tower.
Bam. Bam Tower.
And then the other bottle I bring is always a bottle of whiskey. Now, I'm generally drinking this alone, so I don't want to bring something super fancy, because if I leave it, I don't want to be like, wow, I'm leaving that for mousekeeping to finish up. But I don't, I want to bring something that's accessible, something that's relatively affordable, and that if I bottle it down by myself, it's not going to be like, oh, that's not terrible, and if I leave some of it, it's not going to be that bad of a deal. So...
what are your options? You got options?
I need some suggestions. I'll tell you what I brought down last time. Last time I went down there, I brought down the Dickel Barrel Select.
Okay.
Mid-30s. Not a bad price. Very good. It's got that Lincoln County process, that charcoal filter,
yeah,
or something like that?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you on the whiskey side. So tequila side, I can go on for days because... I'm definitely getting to be a tequila junkie. But on the whiskey side, I'm going to go back to episode one, pilot episode. I mean, you can't go wrong with McKenna 10-year.
This is true.
So, I mean, McKenna 10-year is going to cover all your bases. 100-proof whiskey. It's going to be stiff enough to mix in a cocktail. It's going to be smooth enough to drink on the rocks. If you leave 3/4 of a bottle, you only left $30.
That's true.
If you bottle it down, you only wasted or drank $30. If it smashes in your suitcase on the way there, you know what I mean? So McKenna, to me, McKenna's a killer deal. And any of those whiskeys we've talked about in that price range for a travel bottle, Buffalo Trace, mm-hmm, Eagle Rare, McKenna, I mean, all those bottles, if you can find a Weller Special Reserve, I mean, all those bottles are killer bourbons. I would say to carry a checked bag bourbon all the way. I don't know. What other options do you have?
Well, like some of the things I was thinking, maybe do a scotch, and going back to what was that, episode 3, the Monkey Shoulder.
Yep, that's a fantastic option, and that to me is almost it's labeled a scotch, but that's fucking so much on the border. You can do... I feel like if you made me an old-fashioned with Monkey Shoulder, it would be drinkable.
I made a Rob Roy, which is basically a Manhattan with scotch.
Yeah.
That. And it was so good. Yeah. It was perfectly smooth. Nothing too bitey. I liked it a lot.
See, but then when you're talking about, so, okay, you're going to bring a single malt scotch. It's a blend that's going to be your kind of... be all do all, then I'm like, okay, do you spend a $20 bill and get Stranahan's?
Oh yeah, because that's the Stranahan's single malt, a yellow label, barrel select is $41 for me.
What's Monkey Shoulder?
$34.
Well, shit.
35?
So you're less than a $10 bill difference.
Yeah. That's another good one. That's a really
so
good
I mean
one.
So would you spend less than $10 to get a Stranahan's versus a Monkey Shoulder?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I would tell you. So the other night we kind of talked about it off air. One you like is Balcones Text. I do not like Balcones single malt. I don't
love Balcones.
I mean, compared to Stranahan's, I think they're not even in the stratosphere. I don't know. I don't agree.
I think that's, you know, we'll talk. We will do a Balcones episode. I'm going to make you do one because I'm gonna convert you.
Well, I need to do an episode so I can like pour a glass of it and throw it away at the end because this bottle's never going to go away if I don't.
I think that's the Texas heat, humidity, air. The temperature change in Texas.
I could agree with that. I may see that. I think when you talk about just being a single malt, that's definitely the difference in the grain difference and then the water. I mean, Stranahan's is high on this El Dorado spring water. I mean, they're so high on this water being a content for that whiskey. And I think that plays into it. I don't know. Are they getting that water out of the fucking Rio Grande for Balcones or what?
No, I don't know where they get their water from, but I do know they get their malt, their barley, from the same strain of barley that Macallan uses. That I do know.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of their bold flavors come from the Texas weather. So I don't think you're ready for Brimstone.
No. No.
I wasn't. Brimstone, for anyone who is brave enough to try Brimstone, and one of our members, Shan Nichols, will tell you, Brimstone is just a hearty, go fuck yourself, right in the ass. It is. If Trenton hated Ardbeg,
Brimstone is.
He will most likely Brimstone. Hate Brimstone too.
So
one of the other ones I do. Usually look at for something like this, Buff Trace, obviously.
That may be Buffalo Trace at home for old fashions, for sipping straight is great. But I think the McKenna, man, for on the road, McKenna can do everything. McKenna can mix. McKenna can go straight. McKenna can go on the rocks. You can smash McKenna in the parking lot of the Animal Kingdom Jumbo House. Driveway. I mean, you can do whatever,
and you won't feel too bad.
Whatever needs to be done, you know.
Well, I think you might have made a decision for me. It might be McKenna.
I mean, if you can find it now,
Oh, I can find it.
But I say because it's not the easiest thing to find right now. You know. So look,
I can still find it. It went up a couple bucks. I think it's $34 now.
So look, let me tell you a little bit more about what Jeeves poured me that I've found out, and then we'll talk about a tequila option for you, because I know that's your second bottle you want to bring. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if people know this, but so this wine barrel that this bourbon is finished in, Groth Vineyards, Groth Winery, produced one of the only ever in the history of wine 100 point scoring wines.
Really?
One of the only wines to ever score from Robert Parker. One of the only wines to ever score 100.
Well, I know Groth is expensive,
so
I don't doubt
they
that.
They basically took Cabernet barrels that were once filled with Cabernet, and they took the Kentucky straight bourbon. So it's a straight Kentucky bourbon that they basically got. They put it in these barrels, and then they actually put it in a hot box. So they actually engineered a steel container that would hold one wine barrel in a steel container. So instead of warehousing it in a rick, where you'd have just a barrel exposed to the elements, they put it in a steel container, which ensured that in the summer months, the steel container's interior reached 120 degrees. So hotter than typical temperatures, which basically obviously allowed the whiskey to seep deeper into the barrel in a shorter amount of time because of the high temperature. It basically got hotter than what you would get in the top of a rick house in summer. So in the first 60 days... they noticed a substantial change in the bourbon. And the master distiller notes that his first taste reminded him of a sip of Cabernet followed by a shot of bourbon. So that's basically what the description of the taste of this Groth Cask finish was when they used these hot boxes for it. And now that's just this particular batch, or this particular finish uses these hot boxes. And I would imagine, and honestly by the price of what I paid for this bottle, it's a pretty slim picking for Groth Cask finish and a small amount that go in this hot box and through this process to get this flavor out of them. And I've told you guys that haven't tasted it that asked me about it, this is a substantial wine finish to this bourbon. There's some sleepers out there, but this dude, you know exactly what you're getting when you're buying it. It has a cab finish, 100%. Drink a glass of wine, drink a glass of this Groth Cask, and you can tell the relation for sure.
Now, you know, it's interesting because Jefferson's is obviously their icon is Thomas Jefferson, the former president, fourth president of our country. Wait, third?
I think
third president. That's right. Third president of our country. Jefferson hated whiskey, but Thomas Jefferson loved his wine. Over at Monticello,
yeah,
he actually dedicated 200 acres to vineyards where he could make his own wine.
So what did they make East Coast? What was East Coast big for back then?
At the time? Yeah. At the time, beer and whiskey. Beer, whiskey, and a little bit of wine.
So he was kind of like starting East Coast vineyard. Mm-hmm. Vineyard.
Yeah. He actually, in one of the first years of his presidency, he actually convinced and basically told the Secretary of the Treasury, who was at the time not Alexander Hamilton, to lower the taxes on wine to boost its consumption and then stifle the sales of whiskey. Because he just didn't like whiskey. He didn't like what it did to people. He didn't like the crassness of it. He thought wine was better. Well, Jefferson was kind of a pompous asshole. Let's get that one. Let's get out there. But during the first 2 years of his presidency, he basically made it a point to stifle other sales so that he could increase wine sales, because it's rumored that between 1822 and 1824, after his presidency, he drank over 1,200 bottles of wine in 2.5 years. That's a lot of
All
wine.
Right, math that for me.
I can't right now.
So I mean, let's just go even. So if you said 2 years, if you just said 600 days, 1,200 bottles, 2 bottles a day.
Yeah, I mean, it basically ends up being like a bottle and a half a day. Yeah.
Look,
bottle and a half to a bottle and a quarter.
I ain't gonna say that's impossible, because my wife can drink some fucking wine, but dude, that's a pretty impressive par to like.
It is
like, I took off on Monday, but hold on, Thursday, here I come. You know,
this is true.
Yeah,
he saw whiskey as like the scourge of drunkenness, and wine is more of an innocent gratification. And so, it's not so much of an innocent gratification when you're drinking two bottles of wine a day. But I'm sure he didn't drink them by himself, but his household would drink. Okay. $1,200 bottles in 2 years. That's a lot.
That's a lot of wine.
That's a lot of wine. So it's interesting that Jefferson's does do a wine finished whiskey, and a lot of them too. There's a couple of different wine finishes they do.
Yeah. But man, this is great. It's got everything you want from a cab: black cherry, blackberry. It's got just a dark red fruit. It's got that kind of matured grape. Flavor, but you can still tell on the back end that it's bourbon whiskey. Still has those oaky, mellow vanilla oaky kind of flavors to it.
Yeah.
But on the nose and right out the gate. Really, man, a novice or just even blindfolded, you could probably mistake this for a cab. It's not mega hot. I mean, it's 90 proof.
That's not bad.
But it's just not mega hot. I don't know.
My Johnny Green is 86 proof. It's 43%.
Here's the thing. Either. You put it on the front of your mouth, you're good. You draw it over your tongue, you can kind of get the proof out of it. And I think at that point you'd go, okay, I'm not drinking wine. But I mean, as far as the flavors, it has this one, we always talk about finish, and I talk about, you know, you put some water in it, it changes the finish, maybe makes it softer. This is one of the longest finishing bourbons. This finish lingers, like it has a grit on your tongue. It definitely lingers on your tongue. Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And I mean, like I said, I haven't had many of the Jefferson finishes, but I think that these guys are pros. I'd be willing to bet you're not going to go wrong. And I mean, honestly,
no.
I was talked out of buying the rum finish because it was stupid fucking expensive. But I'd be interested to taste what their rum finish tastes like compared to other rum finishes on the market.
I kind of kick myself in the ass because, you know, Jeeves was at the store stocking up, and one day he texts me. He's like, you know, I have these bottles, which we need, and then there's this. And I was like, well, we need those, so get those. And one of the ones that he was seeing was the Jefferson's rum cask finish, and he said it was like $60, and I should have told him to buy it, but we needed the other stuff, and that was more important, I guess.
Yeah, I hear it, you know.
We should have bought it because
limited budget.
Normally it's like $99.
We didn't win the Mega Ball, Scott. We can't let G's go crazy. We don't have a BSEA private jet just yet.
Yeah, not yet. Not yet. we'll get there
soon. We're working on it. So
we'll take donations for that private jet.
All right, so tell me what is your where's your tequila? What's your standards for a tequila to bring?
All right, so look, the reason for bringing down the tequila is it goes all the way back to episode 13A and B of Three Sheets to the Mouse. That's where we went down there with my wife and I and my kid, and it was
met Tim and Adam for the first time?
No. I've known them for a while. But that's
first
where we
first
did go
trip,
down there with
first
them.
First trip with them?
First trip with them. Yeah. But I found this drink called the Boom Tower, and it's basically pineapple juice and reposado. Okay. It is a perfect, just refreshing Florida drink. Now, I would normally use Casamigos, because that's what the Boom Tower was originally created with, was Casamigos and Casamigos reposado and pineapple juice. It's delicious. I promise you, you will not regret making yourself one. I think I got to keep it at Reposado. I think Blanco is a little bit too punchy, a little bit too bitter. The Reposado is a little more mellow. So Casamigos is 40-ish, 41-ish a bottle. So I guess that's the price range there, because I'm perfectly willing to go back to Casamigos because I know it's good and I like it a lot. And I know they do funny things with their distillation process. But whatever they do, it tastes really good.
Look, the taste is all that matters. I mean, it really does. But I would say Casamigos is a fucking joke.
Hey, don't talk about George Clooney like that.
I'm just gonna tell you, it's a joke. It is. I mean, there's no way that you build a tequila company that quick and sell it for that much money because of the product.
I'll tell you what, it used to be super cheap. Like, the Reposado used to be in the mid-30s, yeah. Like $33, $34.
But
then they sold it, and it jumped $10.
It doesn't happen. I mean, look, tell me another tequila company worth $1 billion. I mean, maybe Jose Cuervo, maybe Patron. Cuervo, Don Julio. I mean,
Don Julio.
So Cuervo, Don...
The big
Don names. Julio, Cuervo, Patron. I mean...
What about Justin Timberlake's company, Sousa?
No, that's fucking poo. That's fucking, like, bottom shelf shit. I mean, it is.
How can you talk about JT like this?
Well, I mean, JT invested in a turd. I mean, it happens. It happens.
I can honestly say I've never had his tequila.
They make salsa blue, which is which is 100% blue agave. I mean, everybody makes that. So I mean, here's the thing: if you're making 100% blue agave tequila, just like bourbon, Scott. I mean, if you can put 100% blue agave on the bottle, you're making it the right way. You're making it out of the right product. So you can't fault that.
Right.
But there are definitely bourbons out there that say bourbon on the bottle that are cheaper than $20 bottles of bourbon, and they're $120 bottles of bourbon.
Oh, you know? Look, we have some of them here that I'm looking at you, Hudson.
Yeah, exactly.
They're never going to come down here and drink with us.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, you know, tequila is the same thing. You can have 100% Weber agave, blue agave tequila versus another one, and it's just not the same. It's just not the same. So here's my sales pitch for tequila. It's what we bring. You know what it is.
I know what it is.
You know what it is. I talk about it all the time, and I can't tell you how big of a value this is. But it's Maestro Dobel Diamante. So Dobel family is the family that owns Jose Cuervo now. It's the 13th generation family-owned lineage of Jose Cuervo. Jose Cuervo is, I want to say, 223 years old this year. They're the original founder of tequila. They harvested agave on farmland given to them by whatever king of Spain 223 years ago. This is the lineage of that family. It's the Dobel family now, and this is basically their premium tequila. So you have the Jose Cuervo that everybody knows, the Tradicional Cuervo, which is the original recipe. So that's another thing too. I just want to kind of point out and take 2 seconds to explain. When you talk about Jose Cuervo Gold, Jose Cuervo Silver, their cheaper product, that's not the real Cuervo. That's their economy product, which is still better than a lot of other things out there. But Tradicional, Cuervo Tradicional, if you buy Jose Cuervo Silver Tradicional, that is the exact recipe of the first tequila ever made. You can buy it in a bottle today. You could probably go to your local liquor store and buy Jose Cuervo Tradicional Silver. That is the first tequila ever made on the face of the earth in that bottle. Same recipe. And honestly, it comes from the same farmland. Those agave plants that you're buying in that bottle were on this original farmland that tequila was ever made on. So pretty amazing. Amazing product. Step up from there is 1800.
So, again, remind yourself that this is going to be drank both neat, probably.
Yeah.
As well as mixed in with pineapple juice.
Okay. So I'm just giving you the lineage. So Cuervo, Cuervo Tradicional, then it goes to 1800, which is 100% blue Weber agave.
I like 1800.
I mean, premium tequila.
I still do.
That's what you would compare to 18. That was what you would compare to Patron and all these other big names. And then literally a step above that, you have Maestro Dobel. Like I said, it's the Dobel family. It's their pride and joy. It's what they put their name on it. It's the 13th generation. But they have a unique product called Diamante. So Diamante is something that's super special. And Scott, I think it works for so many different things. I sell it all day long for people making blended cocktails that want something unique, because traditionally when you want a sweet tequila that blends well, that has less bite, has less of the harsh tequila taste, you get a reposado or you get an añejo tequila. Well, when you do that, the tequila has coloration. So if you want to make a premium margarita and you want to have a presentation, that's going to tint or cloud the color of the margarita, especially if you're using a premium triple sec like Cointreau or another brand that makes a clear triple sec. It's going to tint the margarita on the rocks. Diamante is the first ever made reposado, añejo, and extra añejo blended tequila they basically have a high pressure filter that they filter this through, and it basically strips all the coloration out of it. So you've got an aged tequila that's literally crystal clear. So you can take a margarita, you can use Cointreau, which is a triple sec, triple orange liqueur, to make a margarita, fresh lime juice, and this Dobel, and have basically a white margarita that is going to be one of the best things you've ever tasted. It has no tint to it, no color to it. It's amazing. You can drink it neat. You can shoot it. You can mix it. It has the taste of an aged tequila, but the look of a silver tequila. And I think it's one of the best things. Cindy and I never, and I'm telling you, I don't care if we're going to New Orleans, Biloxi, an hour, 2 hours away, or Orlando. It's like an American Express card. We never leave home without it.
Well, I might have to look for that one, and if I can find it, because I don't know if my store carries it, but
yeah,
because I don't think I've ever seen
Mastro Dobel Diamante. Diamante is diamond in Spanish,
right? Yeah. Right. Now, if I can't find that, something a All little right. more practical.
Okay. So,
I know you're hating on the Casamigos, but man,
I mean,
House of Friends, baby,
House of Friends. Okay, so, I would tell you just things that I have experience with that I like. Herradura, House of Herradura.
Yep, very good.
Is a solid brand that now that's going to still be a premium though. So even Herradura Silver is going to either be priced at or above probably what you pay for Patron. It's going to be a premium tequila.
Yeah, it's a few dollars more. It's about $5 or $6 more a bottle.
So it's
for that over Patron.
So let's say if you wanted to go, okay, let's just call Patron the industry standard, right? Probably $35 to $40 for a silver, wherever you're at.
Yeah, about that.
Okay. Let's say you didn't want to spend Patron money, but you want 100% Weber Blue Agave. Where do you go? So.
Probably, I would say, and you know, maybe this is me, but I really like the Milagro.
100%. Nailed it. Milagro Silver is tough to beat. And then they also have the entire selection they have.
Mm-hmm.
So Milagro makes Silver, Repo, and Añejo, and they also have an amazing barrel selection product, which not many tequilas do this. So you have the blended version and you have a barrel select version. So you can get each of those products in a mass produced blended version, or you can get them in a single barrel select version, and you can get a silver single barrel select, which it still can be classified as silver if it's less than 2 months in a barrel.
Right.
So you get a silver tequila that went into an oak barrel for less than 2 months and was drawn out into a single bottle for single barrel select silver, Repo, and Añejo. It's amazing stuff. So look, here's the fad. The Mastro Dobel Diamante was the first, but now you have Milagro. It's called Unico. It's a extra Añejo stripped to clear. Herradura has one that was an extra Añejo and Añejo stripped to clear. So other people are getting on this fad of this filtered aged tequila to have a clear tequila. And that's why I'm telling you go to the originator, you're not going to be disappointed. This is the tequila that my wife can drink. Dude,
without the pickle juice?
Without the pickle juice, but here's the big thing. So look, you know, I sell this for a living, and my other teammates, I have three other teammates that joke. I have the Mexican route. I have so many Mexican restaurants on my route, and they literally will tell you. And this is from the people that this is what they drink.
Mm-hmm.
They judge tequila not by taste, but how you feel the next day. And that is fucking. I'm not shitting you. I don't care what it tastes like. Can I drink a bunch of it and feel clear? They call it, you know. Can I have a clear head the next day after I drink a bunch of it? And Dobel, they tell me Dobel, they tell me Milagro, they tell me El Jimador. Those are the ones they talk about all the time. Clear head, clear head, clear head. So El Jimador, Milagro, Dobel. I mean, those are brands that I know are making 100% blue agave and are great products. But I think you're on to something. Silver Milagro, I wouldn't say no.
Now I am excited to spend about an hour in front of the tequila section on Friday.
Dude, you can. Here's the thing. You go to a store that has a serious tequila selection, and you don't understand that tequila is as interesting, if not more interesting, than bourbon, because the brand gives you three aging options in front of your face. If you could, if you could go buy a bottle of Blanton's tomorrow, and you could know that you had a less than 2 month Blanton's, a less than 11 month Blanton's, and a less than 2 year old Blanton's. Like, if you had three age groups of Blanton's, and you're like, wow, I can choose from all of these, and they're all gonna have different like tastes.
Yeah, I guess for whiskey, it'd be 9 year, 12 year, 15 year,
or something like it is. Six year, 9 year, 12 year, even 6 year, nine year, 12 year. You'd be like,
I want all three.
Yeah, but I mean, you'd be mind blown.
Now, I will say that I've had I have started to get into tequila a little bit more as I've gotten a little bit older. Casa Dragones, love that one, love it a lot. So I do like the clear option. Maybe I could do something like that. Maybe that if I can find that Dobel, we'll do that.
If you find it in the right spot, I think you can find Dobel $50-$55 range.
Not terrible.
I would,
and if three people are drinking that one, so I could spend a little more Kwan on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you think about what you're gonna spend on a bottle, what you'd spend on a bottle of bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
You're not gonna take shots of that bourbon. You'd probably spend more on a bottle of bourbon than you'd be willing to spend on a bottle of tequila. I would think.
Well, I'm the only one drinking the bourbon, so I don't mind going a little cheap on that and going with the McKenna or the Eagle Rare, Elijah Craig or Buff Trace, and take those down for me because I like all of those. But I will spend a little bit more for the tequila because my wife, my sister-in-law, they're going to enjoy that more.
Okay.
I'll gladly spend some more on that one. So, awesome. Look, we have some good suggestions for when you go on a trip and you want to bring some whiskey with you or bring some tequila with you, because there's kind of been this little thing with the BSEA on the Facebook group. And if you want to join the Facebook group, go over to facebook.com/groups/BSEA podcast. There's kind of been this thing where some people are like, is it okay to like scotch in the BSEA? And we say yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Look,
it's all whiskey.
I mean, honestly, we haven't had any vodka posts or gin posts, but I'm telling you, I'm into hearing about your rum fascination and your tequila fascination and your scotch fascination.
Brown water.
Brown water, I'm all about. If it's rested in a barrel, give it to me.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love gin. I make a gin martini all the time. But gin is not... gin is complex. Gin is fun. I want to hear about your complexities with the aged liquors. Then that's... And that includes tequila. If you like tequila, don't be afraid to share a post. We're going to like it. We're going to let you talk about it. It's primarily whiskey, though. So bourbon, scotch, Japanese, Irish.
Yeah.
Indians become a thing in the last couple of years. I haven't tried some of it. I take it back. I've tried one. It smelled like potpourri. I did not like it. Yeah. Very floral. But anything that you... Any whiskey you like... Post about it. If it's Japanese, I've got a bunch of Japanese whiskey at my house. Jeeves stocks some here at the speakeasy. Irish whiskey, we love that too.
Yeah.
Scotch whiskey, I love Scotch whiskey.
I know you do. So I mean, so give them a heads up.
And bourbon's okay.
Yeah. So what's the heads up on things to come? So I don't know when this is planning to drop, but what's going to be? What's the next pair of whiskeys for them to get in their pocket for the next show?
Oh, so the next main show that we'll talk about, the next actual episode, we're going to talk about some Johnny Walker blended single or blended Scotch whiskey.
That's the Black Label.
That's the Black Label. And then we're also going to talk about Jack Daniel's, but this is the single barrel select. So yes, you see the Jack Daniel's Old Number 7. Yes, you see the Red Dog, whatever they got going on right now.
Yeah, Red Dog Society, Gentleman's Jack. But this is the true. So Here's the question I don't know. Is this labeled bourbon?
Let's find out. Hold on. Let me go get Jeeves. What do we got here, Jeeves? No. So it's a Tennessee whiskey. So it is not labeled as a bourbon.
So my question about this is this still mellowed, charcoal mellowed? Because the charcoal mellowing process is what denotes it from being bourbon. So I guess we'll save this answer for the podcast.
We'll find out.
And we'll find it on the podcast if the reason that this is not bourbon is because it's also mellowed in charcoal or for some other reason.
We'll have to, you know what? The people will have to stay tuned to find out. Is that it is Tennessee whiskey, and let's just hope it is smooth as Tennessee whiskey.
Hey, maybe it's sweet as
strawberry wine.
No, Cabernet Sauvignon Groth Cask.
but we're going to be talking about those two whiskeys. But they also tie into one of our Disney SEA members. And that's Indiana Jones, the fedora-wearing archaeologist.
Can you?
Everybody loves.
Can you get a bigger? So this is like, this is the halfway point almost of our series.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get a bigger celebrity in the BSEA than Indiana Jones?
Not at all.
No, I mean,
We're gonna talk about some of the whiskeys that he's drank on camera. And we're gonna enjoy them. So, tune in next month. Again, the password is fedora because obviously,
correct. Or whip.
No, we're gonna go with fedora for the sake of not starting.
Why are you saying it that way? Whip.
But yeah, we're gonna have those two whiskeys. So go on, get a Johnny Walker, a Johnny Walker Black. And the Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Select. I promise you, you're not going to regret getting either of those bottles. They're very good.
Yes.
So, as we say every show, every month, whatever we tend to do these things, may your time here be educational and enjoyable. And I leave you with our club mission statement. If you came here to learn,
drink what you've learned.
If you came here to share,
share what you drink.
And if you came in here a stranger,
may you exit as a friend.
And if you came in here for adventure,
drink up. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers and good night.
Good night. Happy Halloween, Scott.
Happy Halloween, Brant.